Well, there is certainly just something in the air. There are extraordinary people coming into my life from everywhere that I want to share with you. Well, you know all about the law of attraction. You've heard it. It's absolutely everywhere. But, you know, there's more universal laws out there. And my guest today has tapped into probably every single universal law there is in her life. But before we get started with my guest, I want to just share a little bit about me. Welcome. I want to welcome you to Take Your Life from Ordinary to Extraordinary. I am the Confidence Woman and your host and for the show Coach in the Moment. I'm Christine Laureano. We are all really connected with what we love to do. And when we are that connected with our gifts and our talents, our confidence shines. How about if you are feeling like other people have that special something, but you don't feel that you do? You know, that flair, that spark that they, quote unquote, they seem to have that moves them easily into success? They make it look so easy, and they attract just the right people into our lives, into their lives. That feeling can really wear on your confidence if you don't feel that way. But I'm here to tell you that, yes, they have it. I have it, and so do you. I discovered in my own process how to find it, who I really am and what I love to do. My confidence shines because I know my purpose. And you know what? I was not always that confident person, even though on the outside it may have looked that way. So I am here to share it with all of you, and not only my information, but also by sharing some other extraordinary people with you so that you can tap into that it that makes you shine and that brings out your brilliance. So today my guest is truly unique. Oh, can't wait to introduce her to you. From a very young age, Linda strived to turn life's challenges into really positive experiences. As a child, some of her challenges were overcome by extreme shyness and living with asthma. Later in life, she discovered she was suffering from panic attacks, and Linda took action. Her health and wellness became an important priority. In 1997, Linda faced the toughest challenge yet, and she was diagnosed with breast cancer. And I'm going to have her tell you all about her story. But she has overcome not only this terrible disease, but she did it for a second time. And then she went on to develop motivational steps to inspire and educate others with her story. Linda founded the Small Business Community Network in 2003 to help small businesses in her local area to really grow. And to reach her audience in a wider, more in-depth way, Linda wrote her debut book, A Life Like Mine, Everyday Strategies for Living with Life's Challenges. And that was in July 2005. And across the globe, people are reading her story and are inspired to take action. In October 2005, Linda was nominated the Kitchener-Waterloo Oktoberfest Rogers Woman of the Year in the category of health and wellness. And she speaks to hundreds of people with her humor and her emotion and leaves a permanent message of hope. So today, Linda has taken it one step further and has gone ape. Her latest book, The Ape Philosophy, shares the secrets of attaining everything that money can't buy. So it's time to introduce my very special guest, Linda Ackworth Jenner. Linda, hi. Welcome to Coach in the Moment.
Oh, hi, Christine. I'm so excited and listening to that very long introduction. Even I think I'm good. You've motivated me.
Well, isn't it amazing when we look at ourselves in one way, and that when other people, when we're seen through other people's eyes, what a difference, isn't it?
I think so. And also in my case in particular, but maybe in many other people's lives as well, we overcome our challenges without really giving it a lot of thought because we want to move on and we want to change our lives. But then when we look back, when we have a quiet moment, I tend to go, wow, did I really do that? Or did I really go through that, you know, challenge and came out the other end? And sometimes we look at ourselves and we can't believe how we've changed our lives.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And you certainly have taken your life from ordinary to extraordinary. So will you share some of that journey with us? Because you are so fascinating, and where you were and where you've come to is just so inspiring.
I'd love to. Thank you so much for inviting me today, Christine.
Oh,
I have
so
to
my
say,
pleasure.
Well, I have to say, when I discovered you, you started inspiring me as well. And I think we all need someone to inspire us. It doesn't matter who we are. So I am now a fan of yours also, and you are helping me tremendously.
Well, thank you.
So my story started actually, when I was a very young girl, and I realized that, you know, I was a peacemaker. I wanted everyone to be happy. I was quite a nervous child. And to be honest, by the time I was a teenager, I realized I didn't have a lot of self-esteem, and I was very shy. I married my childhood sweetheart. We had four wonderful children. But we did go through many challenges, and at that time I did everything possible, you know, to overcome the challenges, but I was very, very wrapped up in my children, so they came first. We moved to Canada in 1993, and if you've ever heard that saying that, you know, you can't run away from your challenges, they will follow you. So we moved to Canada in 1993 from the UK, myself, my husband and four children. And I guess we wanted a better life for us all. Unfortunately, the challenges that we left in England followed us. Probably relationship challenges were the most serious. Unfortunately, we went through many financial challenges once moving to Canada. It was hard settling in as well, especially for the children, because as you've guessed, we do have an accent. But I did convey the message to my children, please be you, you know, stay as you, always be you, try never to change for other people. And I'm glad that they took that, you know, as something positive. Unfortunately, myself and my husband did decide to divorce, and that was when I was left with many, many, you know, choices to make, because I had never had what you would call a career in England. I was a stay-at-home mom. So after moving to Canada and going through divorce, I had to find some work very quickly in order to pay my mortgage and stuff like that. I ended up working in a shoe store as a salesperson. At the same time, I was also juggling two other jobs. I was selling vacuums and I was a cleaner in a hotel. At that point in time, I didn't believe I had a skill set. I didn't believe I could do any other jobs, but also I didn't really have the time to find out, because my main prerogative, my initiative, was to find money to pay my bills. It was a very challenging time, and then when I was, you know, succumbed to cancer the first time in 97, it was a shock to us all, but I knew in my heart that because I'd found my lump early, that, you know, I would be fine, I would live to see another day. So what's helped me very much in my life is, you know, knowing that early detection really does help, and it helped with cancer, and it's helped me, you know, getting through financial challenges and stuff like that. So I had 5 weeks of radiation, a lumpectomy, and I wanted to go back to all of my jobs because I needed the money. Unfortunately, right, one of the jobs didn't want to take me back because they'd got new staff, and it was a hard time, you know, encouraging them to give me some work, but in the end they had to give me the work, it's the law. And I was very unhappy at this time and very stressed, and I suppose, you know, I could have dealt with it better, but sometimes we need someone to tell us, and I didn't really have anyone in my life at that moment to say, I think you're stressed.
Yeah.
So I dealt with it the best, yeah. I just dealt with it the best I could.
No, I was just going to say, what's so interesting about your story, too, is you really can't move away from your challenges.
Well, I couldn't move away from the challenges because I was trying to keep a home for my children. So I was literally counting the days until I would be cancer-free for 3 years, because the magic number, evidently, is 5 years and then you're okay again. And so I took that to heart, and I was at 3 years cancer-free when I met my true soulmate, the love of my life, my now husband, Dave, mm-hmm. who I met in the UK. And basically, Dave moved over with us to Canada. He moved to Canada to be with myself and my children in the year 2000. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I had my fairy tale ending. I felt that I'd met, you know, my true soulmate. Mm-hmm. He was willing to help me save the house and look after the children. But 3 months after Dave moved here, I found another lump in my right breast.
Oh, good God.
Mm. Which, again, you know, self-examination, you know, I found the lump myself. And because it was detected early, it meant that I was, again, lucky the cancer hadn't spread. So after a talk with my surgeon and my family, we decided that a double mastectomy was the way to go for me because of family history.
Mm.
I really didn't hesitate, though, Christine, because if you've got a choice of life or death, do you really think that, you know, any part of your body really is more important than living?
Yeah, yeah, it is. And, you know, just, you know, especially for the second time, how easy was it for you to make that choice?
It was very easy, Christine. I'm not joking. I didn't give it a second thought. Now, when I had my children as babies, I made the decision to breastfeed them. So I knew they'd serve the purpose in that case.
Mm-hmm.
Because of Dave and the fact that I'd grown as a person myself, I really did love myself as a person. And I knew that if I lost my breasts, that would not change who I was. I would still be the same caring, loving person. And Dave, my husband, is wonderful. He said something really funny. He said to me, "Sweetheart, I love you to bits. And you know what? You don't need your breasts. You've got wonderful legs."
Oh, God bless him. What a wonderful man.
Well, yes, but sometimes I wonder, if I lose my legs, will Dave still love me? Just a joke. So, no, honestly, Christine, it wasn't a hard decision for me because I've seen my mom die of cancer.
Mm.
I've seen, you know, so many friends die of cancer. And I know that I've been put on this earth to help people and to serve a purpose in my life. And I knew somehow that, you know, my vision, I didn't know what it was at the time, but I knew my vision was to help people. And how can you do that if you die of cancer?
Ah, yes, and look at where you have come in your life, overcoming, you know, so many challenges, and look at where you are, and I want everybody to, you know, experience you a little bit. You started Motivational Steps. You're
mm-hmm.
inspiring people. You've written books, and I know we wanted to talk today about the new Ape Philosophy.
Yeah.
But share a little bit about, you know, the books you wrote and what brought you from there to the Ape Philosophy.
Well, basically, after having my breast removed, believe it or not, on Friday the 13th of August 2000, the surgeon decided that it would be a good idea for me to have implants on the same day.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, I did have implants, but within 3 weeks, I had a massive infection,
mm-hmm.
and so the implants had to come out.
Mm-hmm.
And it was at that point, my surgeon, my doctor, and my husband said, "Listen, you've been through a lot. Why don't you go back to school and discover what you really want to do with your life?" And that is what set me on my course of becoming an author and a business owner. So basically, I went back to school for a year. I started talking in the local schools about health and wellness. And it was a wonderful, wonderful experience helping people. And at that time, I would talk very much about awareness, prevention, and early detection
mm.
without realizing that it was a philosophy I'd taken on as a young child. I really didn't realize it at that time. So then I founded Motivational Steps in 2001, and I did all the things you do to make your business successful, networking, connecting, marketing, all those kinds of things. But by 2004, not only did I have a wonderful wedding to plan, I also had to go through a hysterectomy just in case the cancer decided to visit down below. So it was at this. You cannot concentrate on building your business when you get married and you're going to have a big operation.
Mm.
So my husband suggested in the slow times, why not follow my dream of wanting to write a book? Now, I know a lot of people out there want to write a book and they say to me, when is the time right? Mm. So the time is right whenever you feel the time is right. If you are pursuing a busy, you know, business life, or you're following your dream and you haven't got time, make it a goal that you will sit down and write your book, because I got so busy from 2001 till 2004, I couldn't follow my dream. So in 2004, I decided I had to stay at home and rest. I wrote A Life Like Mine, Everyday Strategies, you know, for Living with Life's Challenges. And that book is so open and so raw, rare. It lets you know every challenge I've been through, and I'm very honest in it. And I really think that 50% of the time we are responsible for our challenges, in the sense that we don't look further than the end of our nose.
Oh, you're so right. Yes. Until they're thrown in our face.
Yeah, we are so wrapped up with our challenges. If only we could just look that little bit further. So whatever challenges we're going through, make sure you accept that in some way, you know, the challenge is yours. You know, take the challenge and own it, and work out strategies to move on with your life. So my first book was very successful, and it allowed me, my speaking business to grow, and I got a lot more, you know, corporate gigs and speaking opportunities, because I was, you know, so open and honest, people wanted to listen to my story.
Mm.
And as time went on and I got busier and busier, and I suddenly sat down one day and I said to myself, wow, I have been living with a personal philosophy for many years. I want to share it with people. Now, Christine, do you know any people in your life who actually think that money can buy everything?
I have known, yes, I certainly have known some of those people.
Is it true? Do you believe it's true that money can buy everything?
And see, my philosophy is, you know, I'm not about the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And no, money cannot buy you everything. Can't buy you.
So I'll give you.
Can't buy you.
No, that's right. So imagine if I hadn't have been so lucky, the two times I succumbed to breast cancer, my husband said to the surgeon, listen, I've got $1 million. Please, if I give you $1 million, will you cure Linda of cancer? The doctor would not have been able to do it, no matter how much money we had.
Mm-hmm.
So my thought process when I was writing my book, The Eighth Philosophy, For Everything Money Can't Buy, I wanted people to realize that money's wonderful. It will pay our bills. It will get us some of the nice things in life, and we can help a lot of people, you know, donating to charity. But in the end, we can't do everything in our life we want just because we have lots of money. And if you're a wealthy person and you want to travel the world but you have health issues, then obviously you're not going to be able to follow your dream. So I decided to share my philosophy with the world when I wrote my second book. And on the back cover, I write these words, and I think you'll be able to relate to this. It's easier to create an illusion of what we want others to think than it is to actually create what we truly want.
Oh, that is such a powerful statement. Because you know what? You know, and I find too, and I've done it in the past, thinking, oh, everything is great. Life is wonderful. I'm this kind of a person. When, you know, when you really go and look at who you really are.
So basically, what I perceive is a lot of people in the world are pretending or creating an illusion that everything's fantastic in their life. Now, you mentioned earlier that I suffered from panic attacks way, way back after my last child was born, Melissa, my daughter. As soon as she was born, I started experiencing panic attacks. Now, a lot of people who experience panic attacks decide to keep it to themselves because they're embarrassed or they are scared, in which case they cannot be helped. So they are creating an illusion that everything's perfect in their lives. But in reality, the people around them know that they are acting differently and there's a challenge in their lives.
Mm, yeah, absolutely. It becomes very evident, doesn't it?
It does. So we can create an illusion. We can create an illusion that, you know, we have all the money in the world and we have no problems. But when we look deep into ourselves and we have relationship problems, we have problems with our health, or we have problems with our financial things in our life, in the end, that illusion will just fall apart. It'll just shatter like crystal. And then what are you going to do? Because you've not accepted that you do have, you know, you don't have a perfect life. So what I wanted to do was bring the eight philosophy into everyone's lives. Now, A stands for awareness, which, as I know, has helped me in the past with my health challenges. But if you think about this logically, Christine, we have to be aware about everything in our life. We have to be aware of our financial situation. We have to be aware if our children are okay and if there's anything like bullying going on at school.
We have to
be aware how to build our business. My husband's a security guy, so awareness is very top priority in the security area. So awareness is not primarily about health and wellness. It's about everything in our life. In order for you to know you have a challenge in your life, you have to be aware.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So now there's lots of things going on in the world today. How are we made more aware? You and I are on Twitter, so we are very aware of all the things that go on in the world. We took action and we decided we wanted awareness to be a big part of our life.
Definitely.
So the P stands for prevention. And again, I have done everything possible all through my life to prevent myself from succumbing to a serious illness. And I think this is why my healthy lifestyle helped me fight cancer, because my immune system was strong and I listened to my doctors.
And you listen to yourself, too.
I listened to my instincts. If I hadn't have listened to my instincts when my lumps were discovered, I may be dead now, I don't know. But why not get a health issue looked at? So prevention also can help you in your business, Christine.
Mm-hmm.
You can prevent things happening in your business if you're aware of the trends in the business world and the new initiatives you should be taking on. If we have a relationship with a friend, a husband, a wife, or our children, we can prevent some issues with our relationships, can't we? If we're aware of them, we can prevent them.
Yes,
and then we move on to early detection. So early detection helped me because I discovered the lump. Early detection of any challenges can help us before they get out of hand. So if you think eight philosophy and you take that on as your philosophy and you use that every day of your life, it will definitely help you, Christine.
Oh, yes. Oh, and Linda, you know, it is so huge when, as you put it that way, because awareness, and that is actually part of where I start my programs, is with awareness. Because without awareness, you can't make a choice. So, you know,
That's right. You
were aware, you know, you've created, you know, choices on learning prevention and learning how to do early detection. What are some of the, we have about 6 minutes left, and I know 30 minutes goes by fast. I'm going to give you time at the end to share your information, because I certainly want people to be able to get a hold of you.
Okay, thank you.
What are some of the steps that people can do, you know, awareness, prevention, early detection, but how can people really get started doing this and taking action?
Well, basically, in the book, and I'll share it with you today, I have six steps. Now, I think six steps is a nice number for anyone, because we like to remember whatever help is being offered to us. So I always have six steps, whether it's, you know, to do with health and wellness, security, whatever. I always have six steps to offer people. So the eight philosophy steps are really easy to remember. So step one, learn how to use awareness in every area of your life. Now, think of this as when you get up in the morning and you're brushing your teeth, it's a habit, isn't it?
It is, yes.
So all you have to do really slowly over time is every morning when you wake up, be aware of who you are, be aware of what you want, and be aware of how you are going to do it. If you're talking about the health and wellness issue, be aware of your own body and your own body changes. But like anything in life, you have to make this a habit to bring awareness into your life every day. So step two is take action by listening, looking, and learning.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of us forget to do that. We're not very good at listening. We're very good at talking.
Yes.
So step three is make prevention a part of your everyday life. You prevent tooth decay by brushing your teeth. You prevent body odor by showering, and you prevent getting run over by a lorry because you look both ways when you cross the road or something.
Mm-hmm.
So make prevention a part of your everyday life. When you get up in the morning, you can, you know, have a shower and do your, you know, good old feeling yourself all over, whether you're a man or a lady, you know, to make sure you haven't got any suspicious lumps or anything. You can go to work and prevent any challenges with your colleagues by, you know, talking to them and finding out if everybody's okay and, you know, if communication is good. So make prevention a part of your everyday life. And then step four is form simple habits that encourage a healthy and safe work and personal environment. And again, we're back to habits.
Yeah.
So form simple habits that encourage healthy and safe work and personal environments.
That's perfect, because, you know, people tend to be, we tend to be live in a detailed world, and we forget to keep things simple.
Well, this is it. Everything I'm telling you is so simple, and actually the book is set in the town of Simple. So step five, use early detection to discover challenges before they get worse. So I've given you a few ideas on how I used early detection to help me. Early detection can be used in every area of your life as long as you make this a habit. And then step six, decide to deal with known health and work and personal issues. Because if you don't deal with them, once you're aware of them, you can't really prevent them getting worse. And if you've detected them early, you can deal with them in a better way. But you have to know that that's something that you should be doing every day on a daily basis. And I'm glad you said it's simple, Christine, because my philosophy is keep it simple. The 8 philosophy couldn't be any simpler. But the reason I added for everything money can't buy, we pay a lot of money today to find our true happiness, our life partner. We spend a lot of money searching for something when really, in reality, it's at our fingertips and it's probably free. It's something we can practice on our own with nobody's help. Money is not the answer. Money is not the answer. So if you truly want the life that you can envision, if you want to make that life a reality, please think about the 8 philosophy and take it as your own and use it every day, Christine. It's really helped me and lots of other people in my life.
Oh, and you are such an extraordinary person. And, you know, you are really such an inspiration. You know, when I hear your story, when we have talked, you know, every day is something new and bright to look forward to. And honestly, and it's wonderful. Now, Linda, where can people get a hold of you?
Okay, so my email, it's Linda, L-I-N-D-A, at Motivational Steps, MOTIVATIONALSTEPS.com.
Excellent. Because, you know, you are a person that, you know, we all have our specialty. You know, I help people, you know, step out from being intimidated because they think other people have it that they don't.
Mm-hmm.
And we all have our specialty. We don't, you know, it's best not to take care of everything. You know, think we're a jack of all trades. Linda is a very special person. So any of you that are listening live, that are listening on the archives, you know, if you're going through some of life's challenges, you know, look at Linda's information and look at how she has overcome some major challenges and listen to her. She is happy. She is sparkly and she is fabulous. So, Linda,
oh, Christine, thank you.
You're welcome. I so want to thank you for being here today. It is such a pleasure to have you here. And again, you can find Linda at linda@motivationalsteps.com. Linda, thank you so much.
Thank you, Christine. It's been an honor speaking with you and sharing my story with your listeners.
Oh, well, it's been absolutely fabulous. It's been extraordinary. And I just want to leave everybody with the fact that, you know, take life from ordinary to extraordinary, because you never know what opportunities will come into your life. And we will see you again next week. Bye, all.